Yeah. When my niggas down, trust you, they gon' shoot.
And we're joined on the scoop today by Colton Molesky, pulling double duty today. We'll start off talking college football as we usually do, but we're going to talk some NBA also in segment two with the NBA season set to kick off here tonight. Colton, as always, glad to have you back on the show. Thanks for pulling the back-to-back here with a couple segments today.
Of course, as always. I'm really happy to join the show. It'll be fun to talk about both the NBA and college football, my two passions.
Yes, the merging them both together here. Now let's start off with college football, week seven, and a better week for me picks wise, but still plenty of exciting results. I mean, the Gophers ended up covering against Ohio State, so that was one of the big surprises. Any other surprises from the weekend that we saw in terms of the results?
Well, I mean, what a huge upheaval this weekend. You had LSU being the number two team in Georgia. Yeah, Iowa State being the number 12, I believe they are, or it's West Virginia, 16 team in Miami going down. You had the Texas A&M, the 22nd team, and Notre Dame. Both those guys almost losing to unranked teams. So many upsets, so many near upsets. It was a great weekend of college football.
Yes, it was. Now, in terms of our picks, and listeners may be more familiar with this now that they've seen it on Twitter, we will be doing some weekly picks with both of us and then a couple of other regulars for the show. And a better week for me this week. Went 0-3 last week, 2-1 this week. But again, the biggest problem became teams trying to cover those big point spreads. As a couple of our pickers going with Ohio State to cover, that's not good. So yeah, it was a better week for picks, and I hope that I can parlay that into some success going forward and end up winning this thing.
About that, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves here.
Colton, let's look at the rankings for college football here, as we're now already into week eight, which I can't believe that it's already getting to that point in the season. And surprise, surprise, Alabama still number one. Ohio State jumps to two. Some of the biggest movers: LSU back to five after a pretty convincing win over Georgia. Georgia drops down to 8. Penn State drops from 8 to 18. They were the biggest drop in the top 25. Just looking at the top 25 in general, any big surprises in terms of who made it, maybe who didn't, and who fell or who jumped up?
Well, obviously, it's really surprising Penn State lost at home to Michigan State. Again, a Michigan State that's really struggled at times this season. This is the same Michigan State that we were picking against when they played Arizona State earlier in the season. And Arizona State, not exactly a world beater. So that it was surprising that they lost that one. Really surprising to see their offense have these quarters where they just go away. Even though they have guys like Trace McSorley, their quarterback, to lead them, they still have a pretty solid group of receivers. It's really weird that this offense just seems to disappear at times. And then I would say that Oregon is a team that you should really watch. They looked really good against the number 7 team, Washington, in that overtime win. And they just, for the first time in a long time, they actually have a balance of offense and defense. They've been able to get a pass rush pretty consistently from week to week. Their corners have been playing probably the best they've been playing in over the last 4 years. Justin Hibbert is the real deal quarterback. Really, the worst thing that could have happened to them was them losing to a Stanford team that appears to be having kind of a down year, it would seem now, after some bad losses to Utah and Notre Dame. But if they don't lose that game to Stanford, then they probably are in the top 12, top 10, and looking to try and move their way after a win over Washington into the top 6 or top 5 to try and get to the playoffs. Instead, they were at 17 when they beat Washington, and now it's going to be a struggle just to get into that top 8.
On to the just looking at the Heisman and potential candidates. Tua Tagovailoa, still, at least according to ESPN, hanging on to that that top spot in the rankings. But Dwayne Haskins making some noise, 412 yards and three touchdowns against the Gophers. And it's become a pretty crowded field up at the top. Any players that have really been making some noise here over the last couple of weeks that have moved into that consideration?
Well, it'll be interesting to see, because there's been so much upheaval. It'll be interesting to see which quarterbacks are able to hold on, first of all, but also if a team like Texas keeps climbing, a team like Notre Dame keeps climbing, LSU keeps climbing, it'll be interesting to see how many of these teams are impacted by their standings versus their stats at the end of the season, you know? Because we know that it's really important to be a high-ranking team, be a high-profile team when you're also in the running for the Heisman Trophy. And so with so many upsets, you have to think that there will be a few more in store here as we get into deeper into conference play. It'll be interesting to see how other names are thrown out there. Is a guy like Justin Hibbert, if they keep winning and they're in contention for the Pac-12 title and they're able to play themselves into kind of a fringe playoff team, is a guy like that with his stats? He's got a great stat line, over 12,000 yards already this season. He's been pretty careful with the football so far this season. Is a guy like that kind of working his way into a fringe Heisman contention as well because of how his team is playing and their ranking in the overall playoff field? I don't know. It'll be very interesting. I think there's a lot more names to be thrown out there, though, in the coming few weeks.
Colton, looking at the Week 8 schedule, a lot of intriguing matchups we get to start off one of the earlier games on Saturday, Michigan at Michigan State. So, of course, that rivalry brought back into the forefront. Does Michigan have a chance to get upset on the road, or do you think they'll take care of business against the Spartans?
It's hard to tell, right? I mean, the Michigan State just won a huge game against the number 8 team in Penn State, and they were on the road as well. And so that was equally impressive. And the other thing is, too, is that it's really hard to bet on 19, 20-year-olds what they'll do in a rivalry-type situation, what the emotions will be like. I'm not sure if it's totally safe to say just because Michigan has been playing better, that means they'll automatically be the team that's going to pull this out by 10 points against Michigan State. And we've seen these games, the funky things that happen. You never know when a punt return or a punt is going to be blocked and returned for a touchdown in the final seconds of a game.
Yeah.
And so my gut tells me to go with Michigan, but I think that anything's on the table, especially the way Michigan State's been getting up for these big games.
Sure. Looking at some of the other ranked versus ranked games, we've got NC State taking on Clemson. NC State ranked number 16, Clemson ranked number 3. Clemson coming off of a pretty dominant win. The previous game they had to kind of squeak one out against Syracuse. Colton, NC State have a chance on the road, or do you think Clemson takes care of business?
I like Clemson. Their defense is just so good. I mean, it feels like for a lot of these games, they're only really putting the pedal to the metal in 8-10 minutes of these games, and they can kind of coast through most of the rest of them, unless they're playing a team like Texas A&M. And they're able to do that because their defense is so imposing and really forces their will at the line of scrimmage. So I think that you can ride that defense until you're playing towards the end of the year.
Okay. Next up, we've got at 6 o'clock on Saturday, number 22, Mississippi State, taking on number 5, LSU. LSU's been playing very, very good football this year. So I'll ask the same question. Does Mississippi State have a chance to pull off the upset on the road, or does LSU get it done?
This one might be a little bit closer just because Mississippi State has actually played pretty well with upper-level competition. And you have your quarterback in Fitzgerald who can really do some things on the ground with his legs and really keep a defense honest. If you get him out of the pocket, that doesn't mean that the play is over. He's going to be able to extend plays, He's going to be able to move the pocket around, and he's going to be able to give these linebackers for LSU some trouble. So this will be a really interesting game, but I really like the defensive minds they have on the LSU side. You've got guys like Del Pitt, like Devin White, Andres Greedy-Williams. All these guys are really high IQ football players on defense, not just really talented players. Rashad Lawrence, so many talents that are going to be able to adjust, going to be able to see things and make adjustments and talk to their coaching staff and help everybody get on the same page and make some adjustments and make some plays during this game that the Mississippi State offense just isn't going to expect. I like LSU in this one still.
I would like to, before we just look at the rest of the slate in general, I'd like to give a shout-out to Auburn. They have dropped out of the top 25, mainly because I picked them the last 2 weeks and they ended up losing both. So I'm not going to pick Auburn this week, and we'll see if maybe they jump back in. I'm betting I was just a bad luck charm.
I mean, it's awfully nice of you to try and let them back in this thing. Very decent of you.
Hey, that's what I'm all about, is just trying to do the best thing for some of these teams to get back into the hunt. Looking at the rest of the slate for Saturday, Colton, any other games that we didn't highlight specifically that you will be keeping an eye on in particular?
Number 12 versus number 25, Oregon versus Washington.
Oh,
State.
Yeah, I forgot that one.
Fantastic game. And Oregon is on the road again. I think that while Washington State has had kind of an up-and-down year, I think that they're going to really show up for this game. I think they're going to try and pull an upset. I think they're going to try and throw defensively. They're just going to try and throw a bunch of different blitzes. They're going to look at the tape from the second half of the Stanford game and what they were able to do against Justin Hibbert, just bringing in different linebackers to try and create different pressures. Really gave him trouble. Again, they only scored 7 points in that second half for Oregon, and obviously Stanford was able to come back because of that. And so they're going to look at that and try and do those kind of things. And on the other side, Justin Hibbert, they're going to force his receivers outside, and they're not going to let plays develop over the middle. They're going to try and avoid that. And he's just got to be a really good quarterback and continue to make plays, throwing those deep passes outside to the outside shoulders of his talented receivers. And at the end of the day, it's going to be who can win the battle. Justin Hibbert throwing those deep passes outside, or the defensive line getting to Justin Hibbert and keeping him from letting those plays develop. And I'm betting Oregon takes this one again. I really like the way they've played. I think they've played really well on both sides of the ball and really disciplined football. But it's going to be a really good game.
Okay. Colton, let's give the people what they want. It's time for you to give those games that can get people some nice payouts. Let's take it to the bank. Who you got this week?
Well, last week it wasn't maybe as great of a payout as it could have or we were hoping for. And you know what? I was pleasantly surprised by the Minnesota Gophers and how they played. I liked it a lot. I liked the things that I saw from them. Getting up for the big game, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. But this week we're going to turn it around. This week I have a lock I think people can get behind. It's Kentucky, the number 14 team, Kentucky against Vanderbilt. They're 11-point favorites. I'm taking a big point spread. 11 points is a lot of points, even though in college you see a lot of 20, 30-point spreads. 11 points still is a lot of points. But I'm taking it against Kentucky. They're at home against Vanderbilt, a team that has struggled offensively this year, and a team that they're running up against in Kentucky that's really run the ball well, both with their quarterback and with Benny Snell Jr. I'm taking Kentucky and the 11 points.
Boom. There we have it. The take it to the bank pick of the week. We got to work on that name a little bit, and that's in part to me. I got to come up with a little something that's a little more catchy, but hey, we'll workshop it and we'll make something happen here before the season is done. So that's the college football side. Colton, you got time for one more?
Absolutely.
All right, let's put our basketball caps on and we will take a look at the NBA. That is coming up after this here on The Scoop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When my nigga done
And we're back here on The Scoop, joined by Colton Molesky of the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we're taking a look at what's going on now in the NBA as the season starts tonight. And, of course, plenty of angles to discuss. Colton, let's just start off with, are we surprised that the season is starting for the Timberwolves and Jimmy Butler is still on the roster?
I'm a little surprised because I thought that first Miami deal would go through. Obviously, it fell apart. It sounds like the Timberwolves just kept pestering and dragging their feet and asking for too much and not feeling like they wanted to get a deal done, whereas the reports from Miami. The first talks with Miami, I thought, would result in something because it makes sense for both sides. Miami has a couple pieces that they want to offer that would be really decent for the Timberwolves. They have a pretty solid pick. They have Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, Justice Winslow. Those guys are guys that make it worth it for the Timberwolves when they're in a tight spot like this. And then on the flip side, the Miami Heat have all this talent and not like a number one A-list star to kind of guide their talent. And let's remember, they also don't have a ton of cap space. So who are they really going to be able to grab next summer that they're not going to have to pay huge amounts for, which they don't have? This seems like the best opportunity for them to grab an all-star level player to lead this team. So it seemed like a perfect fit for both sides. And unfortunately, it falls apart. And Jimmy Butler's still on this roster.
Colton, we've heard that there is a quote-unquote good faith arrangement between Glenn Taylor and Jimmy Butler that, look, it's not going to happen overnight, but we are going to do our due diligence to find a trade partner and give you what you wish. But until then, you've got to be a good teammate. You can't be trying to single-handedly implode the season. Is that going to work, or was that simply just some lip service that that Butler and his side of the coin were giving to the Timberwolves so they would kind of feel like everything was handled? Or do you think this can actually work and that this team will be able to come together here until Butler's traded?
I don't know if it'll actually work, both for the locker room and on the court stuff, but I do know that if I was Butler and somebody told me they were going to do their due diligence and then I heard about the things they were requesting for in trades back from other teams, I would be a little suspicious that they weren't just trying to string me along and see if I could, if they could re-sign me after 2 months of basketball. And it really is starting to feel less and less like they're trying to trade him and more like they're thinking that they could talk him into another year. Which I think would be folly. And it feels a lot, too, if you're thinking of it from the Tim's angle, it feels a lot like a guy who thinks he's probably going to be fired next season anyways. And so you might as well up your all-star and give yourself the best chance to win a bunch of games so you can secure that next job.
Man, that would be incredible if that's the outcome that we get here. I still have no idea what I expect will happen because I really don't know that I've ever seen a situation like this. So I guess just have to sit back, get the popcorn, and gear up for what figures to be just an absolutely crazy season for the Wolves here in the Western Conference. And speaking of the Western Conference, plenty of changes made by contenders and teams that did not make the playoffs last year. So let's just look, Colton, at who we expect to see make it in the playoffs at the end of the season. We'll start in the Western Conference. Who, and you don't have to put them in order, but just throw out the teams in the West that you expect to be fighting for playoff spots come the end of the season.
Well, I mean, obviously the Lakers, right? But also, I think the Pelicans will be in there. I think the Trailblazers will be in there. I think that the Clippers, there'll be another moment like last year where they'll be kind of hanging around that eighth seed. I think the Denver Nuggets are going to be a really good team. And all those teams are going to be fighting for those kind of six through eight spots. And it's going to be a really tough road for the Timberwolves. And This doesn't help. I mean, it's so important. We were looking at the first month of the season last week, and it's so tough the first month just to not get behind the eight ball right away in that first few weeks of basketball. And so coming into the season unified was probably more important this year than it was last year almost. And it's just a bummer that they're going in with all this drama. Another thing I wanted to hit on, I know this is a little bit off of your question, but it comes back to the Jimmy Butler thing. A couple of questions that you should have when you're looking at this team and Jimmy Butler is rejoining. You got to ask, okay, so how does this change the minutes load? You have a guy who took up a ton of minutes last year when he was starting, and now you probably aren't going to be able to see as much of Josh Okogie, as much of Keita Bates' job. You're not going to see as much of Derrick Rose, which I kind of liked when they ran two point guards, but you're also not going to see as much Tyus Jones. You're probably not going to see as much Anthony Tolliver or James Nunley. Those are the guys who are going to spread the floor and shoot threes for this team. So Jimmy Butler coming back, what does that mean for the roster? It might throw a cog in the wrench of creativity for the Timberwolves and any hope they had of having any creativity as well. And so it could be a real struggle for the Timberwolves these first couple weeks of the season.
Oh, man. Well, we'll see how things play out for them. Now, you mentioned the Lakers. Of course, they've got LeBron. They've also got seemingly every player that he has butted heads with over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years also on the roster. Will that work, though? Will LeBron be able to do enough with the roster around him to get the Lakers not only into the playoffs, but a potentially deep run in the playoffs as well?
Seth, I'm a college graduate. And the last time that LeBron wasn't in the finals, I was getting ready for high school.
Oh, my.
And so it's hard for me to imagine a world where LeBron isn't in the finals, much less not making the playoffs. And so it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around LeBron, because when I look at the roster, I'm seeing some piece off the proverbial trash heap. Nothing against Lance Stephenson or JaVale McGee, but these are guys that bounced around some teams, and they weren't huge members of their last teams, especially during the regular season. And so they're joining this roster. You've got some young guys who are still a little bit of question marks. You still need to see some growth from some young guys on this team. And then you've got LeBron James, and it's just hard for me to wrap my mind around, even with all those negatives, that he doesn't make the playoffs. I can't even fathom it, because he's been in the finals for so long. My whole adult life. It's crazy.
Jeez. On the flip side, is this finally the year that Cleveland is going to take a huge step back? I mean, no LeBron. They do still have Kevin Love. But are they going to have to take a step back and try to build a young core once again?
I don't think that so either. I think that this team can still win like 45 games. And in the East, that might be enough to make the eighth seed, the seventh seed. It probably will be. And you have guys who, even without LeBron, Kevin Love's a really good player. And J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, George Hill, they were around when this team, for more than a few times for a lot of these guys, was going to the finals. And they know what kind of team they need to get to the finals. And so they know what kind of execution is required, what kind of work is required to put in. Also, this team has a little bit of a – I don't know if you watched the Celtics-Cavs preseason game. This team has a little bit of a swagger to it. I like it. And I really love Colin Sexton, the new point guard that they drafted in the lottery. I think this team can actually get to the playoffs again. And I think it will be behind Kevin Love and a bunch of role players. And then Colin Sexton kind of growing into an NBA point guard.
Okay, I like it. Colton, looking at the Eastern Conference for a little bit, is it Boston or bust in the East, or who do you think can seriously contend with the Celtics for a chance to go to the finals and represent the East?
I think it's probably – it has to be a version of Toronto that Kawhi comes back just without missing a beat. You know, Kawhi comes back and he is looking fantastic, and he is meshing really well with the roster around him in Toronto, and they are just world beaters up there in the North. That's the only version of that team that I think can really contend with Boston for the number one seed. As far as I don't think Philly is ready yet. I don't think the Indiana Pacers are ready yet. And a team like Washington isn't going to surge this year to the number one contention. I just don't see anybody outside of a crazy good Toronto team making a play for the number one seed.
Colton, a few more just to continue our NBA conversation. I want to go back to the Western Conference for a little bit. Houston was obviously the one team that we've seen really give the Warriors a test here over the past few years. But now they've done some interesting things in the offseason, mainly bringing in Carmelo Anthony to be one of their reliable bench pieces. Has this Houston team done enough to overcome the losses of players like Trevor Ariza? I mean, I know they dumped Ryan Anderson's contract, but have they done enough to not only keep up with Golden State, but also just to overcome some of the depth losses they've had this offseason?
Well, if I'm a fan of the Rockets, I would be more concerned about losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Baba and Mute than Ryan Anderson, just because those two guys, their perimeter defense is really fantastic. And so if you've got a bunch of guys, because the way this offense is set up, right, it's isolation basketball to either James Harden or Chris Paul. They're controlling the ball. They're doing a lot driving to the basket, creating their own shot. And then once the defense is committed to stopping them, then they swing the ball over to the perimeter shooters. And Trevor Ariza and Luke Baba Mute both excel at just sitting and waiting on the perimeter for a pass from one of those guys, moving off the ball, waiting, trying to get open, find that pass. And they would be great at switching over and playing defense and grabbing perimeter defense. And so those 3-and-D guys to play exceptionally well in that spot, I think, is a lot harder than people give it credit for. And I think losing both of those guys significantly damages your defense, which is something I'd be more worried about than the supplied offense of Carmelo Anthony. Because they have offense in spades already. Now they're losing a bunch of perimeter defense. That would legitimately concern me for this season.
Colton, just looking at a couple of other NBA storylines as we wrap up here. Ultimately, for this Timberwolves team, let's just assume that Butler does get traded. It's pretty likely then in that case that they don't make the playoffs, right?
I would say that I think the guiding factor here is their use of creativity in their entire roster, not if Jimmy Butler gets traded or not. If they're a creative team that's willing to use the number one guy and the number 11 guy and be willing to step outside themselves and use the players they have on their roster to space the floor, this is a playoff team. If they go back to their style of offense where the starters have to play 38 minutes a game and you can only use 6 guys on this roster, then they're going to lose a lot of games. And I think they're probably going to be the 9th, 10th team in the West. I think that the way they coach and the way they attack different teams and different matchups is the guiding force for this team, not if Jimmy Butler is on the roster or not.
And final one for you, Colton. The Warriors win the title yet again this year, true or false?
Yes, true. They have 5 All-Stars as their starting 5.
Yeah.
I can't even believe I'm saying that as like a sentence that is going to be aired on radio, but that is a true statement. DeMarcus Cousins, even if he doesn't come back until after the All-Star break, you're giving them a center that can swing off of he can run. You're going to have him running pick and rolls with Steph Curry. How crazy is this?
That's just gross. That's just gross.
And even if you're going to have him for a few months in the playoffs, that's still a huge impact. And you still, even without him, have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry on this roster. And I just read an article the other day on how Steph Curry thinks he can become a more efficient basketball player. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous.
Come on.
They're going to win. They're going to win, and it's going to hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. It seems like they're destined just for another title run, and all we can do, I guess, is just not like it. There's really nothing that can be done.
It's going to be entertaining until they win.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's plenty of things going on in the NBA this year that it'll be an entertaining season of storylines, and we will of course follow them throughout the year. Colton, thanks as always for joining the show today. Double duty here today, talking college football and also the NBA. And we will keep an eye on both with you here as the season gets started for the NBA. But, of course, we'll keep an eye on college football as well. Talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, Seth. Always happy to come on and talk sports with you. Make sure all of your listeners to check out the Locked On Wolves podcast. I just posted a show where we were talking about a news dump, and we're going over the things that we learned about this Timberwolves team through the five games of the preseason. And then, of course, we'll be talking, previewing the San Antonio Spurs game coming up here. Also, make sure to check out SB Nation, the call-in section of SB Nation. So much good content for so many writers, including myself. Make sure to go check it all out on SB Nation. Thanks, Seth.